Good morning, church. Let's get out our Bibles this morning and turn to Acts chapter 16, and we'll begin as we continue our study through Acts in verse 6 of chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, and we are in a series called Fire Up, and it's today's installment is called What is God's Will? And so that's what we're going to be looking at. What's God's will? Acts 16. Still love the... I've gone to the tablets because of my eyes, and I'm vain, so I don't wear glasses yet. And I can't imagine contacts because I can't even put eye drops in my eye without blinking. I don't know, my wife, I remember when she had hard contacts and we were dating, and she used to just take them out from time to time because her eyes would get dry, lick them, and then pop them back in. Just stick. And I go, how does she do that? I know that's like to the optometrist, that's an abomination. You should never do that. And if does anybody have hard contact lenses still? Are there any such thing? There are still such things. Well, God bless. I didn't know that. So anyhow, I don't even know what I was saying. Anyhow, what happens to me is if I don't have a Bible in front of me and I'm not teaching, I'm dangerous. I just go off. So let's pray, okay? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can gather into this place as your people. And Lord, we can celebrate and appreciate all that you are and all that you have done for us, Lord. We are so thankful, Lord. And so we can worship you in spirit and we can worship you in truth, Lord, because you are the truth. And Father, you know us and you know our weaknesses, you know our failures, our sin. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that knowing us better than we even know ourselves, you love us. And Lord, you sent your Son Jesus out of that love for us to die on that cross, to pay the price, to take the judgment that we should receive. He took upon himself, taking our place on that cross, that we might be able to come today boldly before the throne of God, the Creator, to find grace and help to meet the needs. And so, Lord, we thank you that you're a God who cares about the needs that we have. Lord, you know every need. You know every question. You know every struggle. You know every detail about us, Lord. And God, you've told us that you are the I Am. Whatever we need, you are. And so, God, I pray today that as we open your word, that you would strengthen our faith and that you would meet each one right where they're at today and minister to them, Lord, and build them up and encourage them and challenge us, Lord, and continue that a process of making us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, give us ears to hear today what your Spirit would say. And if there's any here that have not yet given their lives to you, I pray, Lord, that they would sense your love for them, that they would hear your word and that the conviction would come upon their hearts and that they today might come to know you, the living God, the one alone who can save them from a wasted and destructive life. Lord, draw those that don't know you to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. What is God's will? Have you ever found yourself struggling with a very important and perhaps a major decision? You're not sure what direction God wants you to go. You're not sure what path to take, or perhaps the path that you feel is the right one or felt is the right one seems more difficult than you thought it should and hoped it would. And once the doors were open, but now you suddenly find things closing and you're going, what's going on? I thought this was it. Or perhaps the doors are open, but you go, and man, there it is. And that seems like the path, but something inside just doesn't set right, and I don't know what to do. Ever been there? Well, you're in good company. Perhaps you're there right now, some of you. You see, there are times where knowing God's will, well, God makes it very clear. He opens up the path. Man, God brings confirmation, and He moves you in that situation, and things go and flow. And it's just wonderful, isn't it, to be right in the center of God's will and be confident that that's where you're at? But we all know that's not always the case. Sometimes God leads by positive and kind of moving us in a direction. And other times, you know what? Here's where we struggle more. He leads us by closing certain doors that we thought would be open, but they begin to shut down, you see. Well, that's what's happening here as we approach our text. You see, Paul and not Barnabas any longer. You remember last time together, they broke apart. It's a guy by the name of Silas now. And they picked up a young man on his second missionary journey, Paul wanting to go back and visit the churches that he has established, you see, on his first journey, and make sure they're growing and flourishing spiritually. And then he wants to move into new areas of opportunity as he passes by those churches. That was just Paul's heart, man. That's the kind of guy he was. And so we approach our text here, and Timothy and Silas and Paul are on this second missionary journey. They had gone through Phrygia in verse 6, the region of Galatia, but they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. Ah, what do we see here? Godly men, no question. Wanting to do God's will and fulfill the great commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. But guess what? As they stepped out, they began to move in a direction that they felt that they were to go, but then the Holy Spirit, it said, forbid them. Check out the map here up on the screen. You see, the map is on the screen right now. See it right there? Wait, it's right there. It is right there. There it is. Little delay there. But you see, they left Derbe there in Lystra where they picked up Timothy. And then I have this little laser pointer. There it is. Wait, there you go. There it is. And so, there it is. And I'm shaking. Okay. And so they go, here's the original place. This is a second missionary journey. This is where they picked up Timothy, right in here. Then they headed up into this area, Galatia and Phrygia. And then Paul was going to go to Mysia here. Going to go rather to Bithynia and Pontus. He got to the border of Mysia, as you can read in those verses, as we just read. And the Holy Spirit somehow stopped him from going up here east where he wanted to go. And he went on to Troas. There he met Luke. And then Luke and he and now Timothy and Silas cruise on to this Macedonia area. It says he wanted to go through Asia. See, Asia, this is a province of Asia. This is not Asia as we know today, but this is back then in that day. These are the communities. And so we see these various areas, and Paul is out there wanting to break new ground. But God says no. Now, that's something that for many of us is a struggle. When we're praying and asking God to open the doors for something, and then the door closes, we think, oh, I'm going to enter into this new opportunity, and we begin to head down the road, and just before the opportunity breaks, bam, the door slams shut. And you know what? If you get too many of those, and Paul's just had two significant doors slam shut, And I'm sure that at this point, Paul is wondering, okay, I got Timothy with me now. I got Silas with me. And I'm traveling.
and we visited the churches, but now we're going into new areas and the doors seem to be closing and we have no record on this journey. These guys are just walking from one city to the next. And guess what we don't see? We don't see anybody coming to the Lord. We don't see anything really shaken with the great apostle Paul. And so Paul, perhaps himself going, what's going on, Lord? And I'm sure Timothy and Silas must have said, after Barnabas, you know, in their breakup, Paul lost the ghost. That's what it is, man. I mean, what are we doing with this guy? He's a loser. Nothing's happening. And every time he says, I think God wants us to go here, bam, the door shuts. I think God wants us. Does he know what God wants? Have you ever been in the place Paul is? And it just doesn't make any sense. And here's what I appreciate about Paul. Even when this happens, Paul doesn't say, that's it, I'm taking my marbles and going back home. That's it, I'm out of here, Lord. If you're not going to use me, if you're not going to open the doors of opportunity, if, you know, boom, a door shuts here, a door shuts there. You know what? I quit. And he goes to the local bookstore and buys a book on suffering and discouragement. Sits at Starbucks and goes, I mean, that's what we would do. But that's not what we should do. Here's the thing that impresses me about the great apostle. When God says no, he still goes where he can go. He's still moving ahead because he's being obedient to do what? To go out and to preach the gospel. God called Paul. He knew he was called to preach. And so Paul would preach wherever, whenever. And if the door closed in one place, he'd go the next. That's the way it is at times with God's will. It's that way. You see, the reason why? Well, God wants what's best for you. And here's the problem. Here's the conflict. You and I think we know what's best. And we've got a will for us, right? Here's what you need to do, Lord. And here's what, this could really be cool if you did this and this and this. And we have all this mapped out for us. And one day I'll be in ministry full time. And one day I'll be married. Or you know what? I'm going to have a small family. I'm going to have a big family. And the person that wants a big family gets a small family. The person that wants a small family ends up with a big family. The single person that wanted to be married is not married. The single person that wanted to stay single all of a sudden meets someone and gets married. And have you ever found that life doesn't turn out the way you thought it would? Have you ever noticed that God doesn't always take you where you want to go? Why? Because God has I know this is hard for you to believe, but hang on to your seat, a better plan than yours. I know you think you know, but you don't know. Why? Because so often our plan really is for our health and wealth and comfort and convenience and blessings presently. When God certainly does that, but he's got something bigger he's working on. He's preparing you for eternity. And so he knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. And you see, when God opens doors and when God closes doors, how we respond to those open and closed doors in these moments of clarity and decision is very important as to the outcome we experience. In other words, our decisions, when these things happen, are important. They matter. They are life-altering. Not only for ourselves personally, but they impact our family. They can impact our community. They can impact our country ultimately. And so Paul, along with Silas and Timothy, and now adding Luke to the company there in verse 10, because we see they previously, but now in verse 10, we see we. So guess what? That means that Luke is going to join them here, you see. And so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Finally. Paul goes to sleep. He has a vision. What's the vision? A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, what's it say there? What's that word? We. That means Luke's included. Remember, he's the writer. So now it's Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. Immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Here we see now this team. Paul has a vision. Come to us and help us. You know what? That's many times the reason we don't have much impact when it comes to sharing the gospel with people, is because we're not listening to those who express need. We're trying to share the gospel with people that say, I don't need help. You know what? We need to look for the opportunity to share the gospel, to reach out, to show the love of Jesus to those that have need, that come and say, help me. And when that opportunity presents itself, you know what? We need to be willing to move into that opportunity and reach out and help, you see. Those are the times where we can show the love of Jesus and share the life of Jesus and care for them, you see, reaching out to them. Paul here is going to move into this area now. And note, he concluded, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding they together, you see, they were all in on this. In other words, not only did Paul have a vision, but he shared it with these men that were with him, and they all agreed and brought confirmation that this was the will of God. You see, sometimes it takes several closed doors before God opens a door. But once this door was open, they all concluded that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let's go do it. I love that. They didn't hang around once they talked about it and agreed together. They said, let's go. You know, they didn't sit around and say, okay, well, let's get a planning meeting together and how. No, they just were obedient to take off. Listen, here's the key. When you're praying about God's will and you're seeking what God would have you do, and then God closes the door, and then suddenly He opens a door of opportunity and you get confirmation as you pray about it yourself, you see, and you open the Word and God's Word, hey, it's God's will, you see, according to the Word, then you have a peace about it and you talk to others about it and they say, hey man, we bear witness, then it's time to get up and go. Don't sit around and say, well, I got to get a plan together. No, move out into that opportunity as quickly as possible. Don't mess around. Don't play around. You see, Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke all get up and they move out to go about preaching the word. Once they've been given a vision, they take action. We should do the same. And so what do they do? Well, therefore, whenever there's a therefore, we always find out what it's there for. And what they're saying is, once the will of God was confirmed, once they agreed upon it, then they acted and moved out in obedience to God's directing. And, of course, as you would expect, God's providing where God guides. God provides. So what do they find when they get there to Troas? On the coast, they find a boat all ready to go. And it says, therefore, sailing from Troas, they go from Troas. And I want you to note something. We ran a straight course to Samothrace. They run a straight course. You know what that means? The wind was favorable. They didn't have motorboats in that day, okay? So they had sailboats, and when they put up the sails, the wind filled the sails, and so
So rightly directed was that wind, and perfect was they sailed, it says, a straight course. They didn't have to fight the wind or anything. It blew them right on course to where they were going. Not an often situation. But we have it here. Why? Because the God who was in control of the wind was, they were in His will. Listen, when God is at work and you are in His path and you are seeking to pursue His will for your life, guess what? He is going to direct you, and He can get you to a place quickly that would take many others perhaps a long journey. You see, so they ran a straight course to Smooth Race. That was a little island. It's a mountain. It's a island about 11 miles long. 70 square mile island. It's got 70 square miles, not a big island, but has a big mountain of 5,285 feet up into the air. Thus, as a result of the mountain, you know, it'd get rain, it'd get the snow, and so there were streams and fresh water. So a nice little stopover on the journey, you see, to kind of get some R&R maybe for a few hours to wash up and get some of the salt water and sweat off of you. You know, of being on that journey. So here they are. They meet, go to Smooth Race, and the next day they came to Neapolis. From there to Philippi, and you see that up on the map. From there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. So here they are. They arrive at the end of their journey in Macedonia, into a city there in Macedonia by the name of Philippi. This city was on a major Roman highway through which much of the trade would pass. And so as a result of its locality there, there were a lot of different people, as there always is, in commercial areas where there ever there's a big highway and a city along that highway, you'll find many times people from other communities, from other cities that stop over and do business there, that stop over for some R&R. So that's the kind of thing that was going on. These guys reach this city. And they were there for a few days. I don't know how many days, because I don't know if they arrived on Monday. I don't know when they arrived, but we know this. The first Sabbath day, which was Paul's M.O., wasn't it? I mean, Paul's M.O. was on the Sabbath. What would Paul do? You guys know by now. Where would he go? Where would be the first place? Anytime he arrived in any city on Sabbath, where would he go? Go to the synagogue. That's right. Well, in order to have a synagogue in any city, the requirement was that you had to have 10 men. Remember, in that day, before Christ liberated them, women were a property. I hate to break it to you, ladies, but that's the way it was. In fact, the Jewish man could, if his wife didn't cook his eggs right, could divorce her. He could put her away for not cooking his eggs right. And women were property. And so that's the way it was. And so there was no synagogue in this city because there were not 10 men. But, and Paul's going to learn something as a Jewish man with that kind of upbringing that women were property, he was going to see what a real woman's liver can do. The Lord Jesus is the greatest liberator of women and men. Okay? And he is about to change Paul's whole scene when it comes to the ladies here and what God can do in and through them. You see, because he arrives here in this city and they stayed some days. And on Sabbath day, they went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. So because there was no synagogue, the Jewish custom was
is that because they needed water for their cleansing and their sacrifices, guess what? They would customarily, if there was no synagogue, the men of the city would go outside, or the Jewish population of that city, however obviously few in this case, you see, they would meet by the river so that they would have the water they needed for the proper cleansing. And so the riverside was some place where they'd meet. Paul, no doubt, checked around to see where by the river they met. And this group of ladies customarily, in other words, that was their habit, gathered there along this riverside to pray. It says, and we sat down, that's Luke and Silas and Paul and Timothy, and spoke to the women who met there. They sat down, and there was a small group of women. And Paul joined with them, and he heard them perhaps praying as he approached. And I don't think he interrupted their prayers. He goes, ladies, hello, a man is here, a preacher, ordained by God to the Gentiles. And guess what? We've arrived. Sit down and listen, little ladies. No, I don't think Paul did that at all. In fact, from the text, it appears that he just sat down right along with them. And I don't know if they had their eyes closed when they were praying. I don't know if they heard the rustling when Paul and the boys walked up. They had probably heard rustling along the river many times. And if they had their eyes closed, they probably didn't pay much attention to it, as their habit was just to pray. And maybe, I picture the scene as maybe Paul and the boys walked up, and the ladies were praying and they were listening in. And then all of a sudden, Paul goes, and yes, Lord, we just pray. And the ladies may be a little shocked to hear a male voice. And maybe at that point opened their eyes to see them. And then Paul began to communicate with them and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with these women. Who it says here, this name, a name of a certain woman in the group, was Lydia. And she heard them, it says. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. So this woman, along with these others that were gathered here, were all God-fearers. A few Jews there in this Gentile city who were God-fearers, who met for prayer out in open, in the open by the river. They probably would have gathered to recite the Shema, which is Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you want to take it down for your reading later, it's something that the Jews would recite frequently. Verse 4 says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, and when you're on the road, and when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. They would read that every time they gathered together as a reminder. And you know what? Can I suggest to you today? It's a very good reminder, something for you to repeat over and over again. Because that's also what God would have us do. And so then these women would pray and perhaps discuss what they read from the law and the prophets. And so Paul now speaks to them. He doesn't create ministry. He discovers ministry as he joins and listens, you see. And Luke gives some details here about one woman among this group of women by the name of Lydia. A woman, as we will see, who is going to be used very powerfully of the Lord. What happens? Well, as Paul is sharing, this woman, it says here that she was a seller of purple, thus She trafficked in high-class clothing. What do I mean by that? Well, purple, you see, was the garments. Those were the color of the garments of royalty in the world at that time. So the kind of businesswoman she was, apparently a resident of Thyatira, which, by the way, is where she probably attended synagogue. Whether it was with her husband or not, we don't know, if he had died or whatever. But she was an industrious woman. She was a businesswoman. So it's no surprise to find her in this city where trade is. Maybe she was setting up another storefront. She had one in Thyatira, setting up an outlet there in Philippi. And so as she was down there visiting and checking on business, perhaps, taking a little liberty there that, I want to be careful of. But for whatever reason, she's there in that community, and one who probably made some pretty decent money selling to the upper class. You know, I don't know what the upper class clothing is today. When I was younger, if you had a Ralph Lauren shirt, you were upper class. Tommy Bahama, I think, still may be. They're way overpriced shirts. But, you know, they have the little guy with the, you know, the horse and the polo thing. And then Tommy Bahama, I don't know what. They don't have anything other than the label on the back that says, I'm cool. And so then there's Diesel, you know, pants. And there's, I don't know what the newest thing is. But that's the kind of clothing she sold to that class of people. And so it says here that when she heard the gospel that Paul shared, the message of the gospel, it says here that in the end of verse 14, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. That's a good thing to underline and remember. We cannot possibly, through our arguments and our illustrations and all our scriptural knowledge, we cannot possibly change a person's heart by our arguments alone. In fact, we can't do anything to change a person's heart. We can put all kinds of pressure on them. But you know what? We can't change them. And they can watch God Is Not Dead Part 2 till they die. And you may think, that'll change them. No, it won't change them. Where's the real change happen? Where's the real work? Precious saints, don't ever forget this. The real work of the ministry begins with what? Prayer. Why? Because here's what we know. Only the Lord can prepare the hearts, the soil of the heart, to receive the seed sown by us. And so if we don't spend time in prayer, don't expect the power of God to do a work of God in those people with whom you are witnessing of God too. It's so important that we pray because Lydia's heart was prepared. It was opened by the Lord. God, open an opportunity. Open the hearts of the people. Pull back the blinders of deception from their eyes, Lord. Help me to be sensitive to the, you know, the sharing with this person and talking to this person. Help me be sensitive to the leading and the guiding of your Spirit, because only you, Lord, can prepare the heart and open it to receive and respond and to heed in obedience the things of God. Not only for salvation, but remember, that's for their growth and maturity as well, spiritually. God, why don't they get this? Why don't my husband get this? Why doesn't my wife get this? Why don't my kids get this? Pray. Pray. I thought when I shared this with them, they would receive it, and they rebelled. You need to do more praying. You see, it's the Lord that opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And then it says, and when she and her household were baptized, Obviously, there was water close by, and when she received the Lord, Lydia, listening, pay attention, God opens the heart of this woman, and she quickly becomes a witness. And notice where her witness starts. It was she who was baptized with who else? Her household. There's no place more important for people to see the witness and the love and the grace of Jesus than at home. Those at home that are up close and personal, obviously she had lived her life previously in a way that was seeking God, and she cared about things spiritually. And then when she heard the gospel and responded to Jesus Christ, it was such a powerful thing that she told others, and her whole household responded to the message of the gospel, and they were baptized. God wants to do a work in your home. But you see, it starts in you. Why are my kids doing this? Well, how are you doing? Why do my kids always argue with each other and bicker? Well, how are you and your wife doing? How come my kids don't read the Word? Well, how are you doing in reading the Word? You see, it's key that we model to them what God desires and designed for them. That we are submitted to the will and heed the Word of God. That they might not just hear, but that they might see what God looks like with skin on, you see. And so she impacted her whole household. And then she begged us. Businesswoman with a gift of hospitality and a spiritual hunger. You see, she was hungry for the Word. She was hungry spiritually. It wasn't like, oh I got to go listen to a Bible study. Oh I got to go to church. Oh, I got to dig into the Word. Oh boy, that Paul's going to expect me to listen to him again preaching. No, it wasn't that way. It says she begged him. She begged these men, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. What a tactful woman. You talk about putting the pressure on. If you have found me faithful, stay. Why? She wanted to hear. She wanted to spend time with these men of God. And it says she persuaded them. And I'll bet you, just like the woman at the well, she persuaded others. I'll bet you when she got saved and went out about her duties in the city, anybody that came into her store, guess what they heard about? They heard about Jesus, and she got an invitation. Come to my house. Come to my house. Hear the Word of God. Hear the gospel. Come to my house and listen to what God's will is and how much God loves you and what He's done for you. And Jesus, who had died on the cross in your place so that you could be forgiven of your sin and have the hope of heaven. So that the chains of slavery and the bondage that keeps you, you see, can be taken away so that you can have peace. Lasting peace. Real peace. I'll bet you she was a dynamo for the Lord, you see. I think that that's a great word for us today. How's our homes? Are they places where people know that the love of Jesus is seen? Are they places of light in the neighborhood? Do your neighbors know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ? You see, is there a reputation among those that live around you? And sometimes they don't want to hear. I have one neighbor who now goes to the church, and they just moved in not too long ago. But every neighbor we've ever had, you know, hears the gospel of Jesus Christ over the years. There's another neighbor on the other side. Now, the neighbor that goes to the church,
I need to pay attention. Because they, who knows what they hear. If my wife and I are yelling and screaming, you guys might hear about it. What if I moved in next door to you? Hopefully you'd be fine with it, because that's what's going on at your house, is something where God is being glorified and the love and the life of Jesus Christ is flowing. Doesn't mean we're perfect. None of us are. But that should be the general, you know, flow of your home. The neighbor on the other side, it's a younger guy. I've tried to share with this guy. The best I can get in with him is hi. I mean, I wave to him from time to time, but he is an outside, and I wonder if it's because of me that he's not outside very often. That he just comes in and comes out, and just every day, you know. I've prayed for open doors. I've tried to, you know, make an attempt to talk to him about more than just a hi, but God hasn't opened that door yet. But I'm still praying. I'm still praying. You see, our homes need to be a light wherever they are. And the witness in our homes then should impact the community and the city. And that's what we see here now with this woman, Lydia. Paul is blown away. God is doing a work in her and through her. And she's out there sharing the gospel and showing Jesus Christ. And guess what? Ultimately, in her home, well, there's a letter written to the church in Philippi called, can you guess what the name of it is? Philippians. That's what the Philippi people were called, Philippians. Like you could be called Hesperians or Victor Villians. That doesn't sound good, Villians. Sort of like villains. Or Apple Valians. Or Atlantans. Or do we say Atlantoans? I don't know, toe-in sounds like something's wrong with your foot. But that letter written to the church in Philippi began there. That whole thing started in her home, a place where she welcomed the Word of God and the people of God, and the church of God grew and flourished there. And from there, the first church in Europe went the gospel out into all of Europe and England. And then, well, guess what? We're here today, you see, because the people who came from England wanted the freedom to worship God according to their own conscience. And so we today, because of that, closing doors into Asia, keeping Paul from going east or going southwest, closing the doors into Bithynia and keeping him from going east. And he headed straight west. The gospel went to Europe and into our nation today as a result of this woman and God working in her life. You never know what one decision can do. Paul's response and obedience to come to Philippi and not just sit and sulk because of closed doors, but just keep moving. And God continued to open the doors and got him where he wanted him. And then Lydia's response in obedience to believe that gospel brought salvation to her whole household and the world ultimately. And you know what? Here's another cool little caveat, and then I'll shut up. But I just can't, I can't, I'm excited about this, because here's the deal. It's only one woman, you know, and just a small group of women, not, again, highly thought of by society, that there would be anything that God would really do by way of anything great, you see, because it was a bunch of property out there by the riverside. One person. Never minimize what God can do to and through one person. Maybe you share with somebody, and you never know whether your next door neighbor, maybe your next door neighbor that you've been praying for and sharing with, who hasn't responded yet, might be the next Billy Graham. You never know. One person. Only one person. To Timothy, Paul, Silas, and Luke. Maybe, oh, this woman. Yeah. Well, hey, how'd it go today, man? Down by the riverside. Oh, yeah, the woman and, you know, a bunch of other ladies respond.
to the gospel. Is that all? No significant, you know, person of influence, no governor, nobody up in the military, and nobody in civic center, you see, not any man of influence. No, just several women, and one woman in particular. Well, she's a bit of a mover and a shaker, but not much. Never. Listen, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that comes to repentance. The angels in heaven all have a party every time somebody prays and receives Christ. God cares about individuals. He's not called us simply to reach multitudes of people and share with multitudes of people. He's called us to reach people one-on-one. One-on-one. Be faithful to take those steps into God's will for your life. One step after the other, obediently, as God provides opportunity, you watch. God will use you powerfully. And that decision to take that step of faith can impact a whole community, a nation, and the world ultimately. Don't forget that and pay attention. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit to minister your word to our hearts. And now I pray, Lord, as we have heard again, that you, like Lydia, would help us as believers to be those who heed your word, not simply hear it, who put it into practice, looking maybe some of us right now at closed doors here and closed doors there. One time we were going to step into this, and we had an idea and opportunities that we wanted to step out in, Lord. And now today we have found a closed door here and there. And Lord, I pray if there's any that have been discouraged by that, Lord, that they would be challenged today, that they would make those steps, that they would not stop, but they would keep moving like Paul did with these men, and not just trust in the results, but look to your leading by your Spirit to direct them and to guide them. And Lord, that we might also look around us and see where's the need, where's the people that are in need, and God, to reach out to them and show them the love and the life of Jesus Christ, Lord, because it's those that recognize the need that often do heed, Lord, your word as it's shown and shared with them, Father. So I pray that you would just continue, Lord, to give us a sensitivity to the opportunities around us, that you would make our homes, Lord, all lights in this community to shine out brightly to those around us. Lord, that we would have hearts for the lost like Paul and like these men. And Lord, that you would use us to glorify your name, that we would be those who care about one person, that we would be those who are showing love to one person and praying for them diligently, Lord, that we may see your kingdom furthered, that you may receive honor and glory. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be wise in understanding what your will is. May we be those, Lord, who are obedient to that opportunity when it comes. And Lord, I pray if there's any here that have not yet given their lives to you, that you would draw them today to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.